no end in sight?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland. Israel continued its bombardment of Lebanon for a sixth straight day today. Beirut's port is now on fire. The missiles came a day after Hezbollah-fired rockets killed eight people in the Israeli town of Haifa. Another rocket attack has just been reported there. The violence prompted a spike in oil prices in early trading, but Brent crude futures in London dropped more than a dollar after an Israeli television station reported the assault on Lebanon may be drawing to a close. Brent crude is now at $76.46 a barrel. The soaring price of oil has been bad news for most of the world's airlines, but plane manufacturers say aircraft sales could take off anyway. One of the world's biggest air shows opens at Farnborough, England today. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Once every 2 years, Farnborough provides a huge showcase for the world's plane makers. Executives from all the major airlines will be there with their pocketbooks. Last time, they placed orders worth more than $40 billion. On the face of it, this year's show looks less promising. With the price of oil nudging $80 a barrel, airline costs have soared. But in fact, says analyst Brian Torra, this could be a bumper show.
All the problems associated with dearer fuel could actually be quite good for the air manufacturers because it will persuade airlines to trade in their old planes and go for more fuel-efficient ones, new ones.
Airbus will use the show to unveil a new fuel-efficient version of its A350, which is to compete with Boeing's Dreamliner. The old version was considered a bit of a gas guzzler. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Back stateside, passengers of Northwest Airlines could be in for a wild ride today. The bankrupt carrier is locked in a labor dispute with its flight attendants that could lead to a unique form of chaos later today. Larry Schooler explains.
Starting today, Northwest Airlines is free to impose wage and benefit concessions on its flight attendants. A bankruptcy judge gave Northwest the green light as part of reorganization efforts. But flight attendants have threatened to strike back with surprise walkouts on select flights. It's a job action they call CHAOS, an acronym for Create Havoc Around Our System. Transportation expert Richard Gritta at the University of Portland says the scenario could backfire for both sides.
People are going to say, look, I'm not booking Northwest because I don't know if I'm going to get where I'm going. The disturbance to the system is going to create anger among travelers who say, well, why are we the victims when this is a management labor fight?
And he says, in the worst case, that could drive Northwest out of business and its workers onto unemployment lines. I'm Larry Schooler for Marketplace.
Seems like every day we hear of another company under investigation for the use of backdated stock options in executive pay packages. To date, the number has topped 60. But that may just be a small sample, according to a new study from the University of Iowa. It puts the total at more than 2,000, or almost 30% of companies. So much for those hopes of a better second half to the year. At least thus far, it has not been pretty. For the week last week, the Dow lost 3.2% to end at 10,739. The Nasdaq dropped 4.4% to finish at 2037. It's down almost 8% for the year. The S&P shed 2.3% to close at 1236. This is Marketplace. If the first 6 months are any indication, this year could break records for private equity fundraising. But having so many dollars in play could mean too much of a good thing. Janet Babin explains.
U.S. private equity firms raised more than $96 billion in the first half of this year, numbers not seen since the dot-com days of 2000, just before the bottom fell out and the market crashed. That's what worries Mitch Mumma, a venture capital firm, InterSouth Partners.
I just hope that the industry hasn't forgotten what happened the last time it had access to more capital than it could profitably deploy.
Leveraged buyout firms do most of the fundraising. They take over mature companies, then demand aggressive growth. Tennille Tracy is with Dow Jones Private Equity Analyst.
Funds that are raising a historical amount of money, that's really what's fueling the increase in fundraising.
But if the funds get too much money, they start competing for the same investments. That can drive prices up and returns down. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, announcing the Triumphant Souls Award and the Global Heroes Program, Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon programs for runners with chronic disease. More at MedtronicTwinCitiesMarathon.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Viglund. You may know the state for its cheese and cheese heads, but back in the 1980s, Wisconsin reigned as the world's ginseng capital. Competition from Canadian and Chinese growers, along with trademark piracy, have diminished Wisconsin's standing. Now farmers there are hoping to reclaim the glory days of ginseng. Brian Bill reports.
In a small shop in Los Angeles's Chinatown, Joe Heil strides past several barrels of ginseng up to the cash register. He shows the clerk a box of ginseng root fixed with an official Wisconsin-grown seal.
Is this grown in Wisconsin?
They say that.
Oh, they tell you that, huh?
Yeah.
I can tell you that all of this, yeah. Chinese, all of it.
Heil says it's all in the color, skin, and smell of the root. The clerk asks him to leave. Heil isn't a government agent. He's with the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin on one of many sting operations across the nation's Chinatowns.
Our product is being misrepresented to the consumer. They're paying a lot of money for something that's not going to give them a lot of benefit or the same benefit that they believe they're getting if they're getting Wisconsin ginseng.
Ginseng from the Badger State can ring up to 3, even 4 times more than other types. Wisconsin's climate and soil creates a potent form of ginseng that many people believe holds the cure for many ailments. But unscrupulous vendors have sold foreign-grown ginseng as Wisconsin-grown to customers who may not know the difference. To help buyers know they're getting bona fide ginseng grown in Wisconsin, Congressman Dave Obey has drafted legislation requiring labels listing the country of origin. Obey says Capitol Hill has yet to act on it.
Congress is institutionally biased against anything that doesn't sound like 100% free trade. They think you're trying to engage in protectionism. I don't call it protectionism to require that people level with people in terms of what it is they're actually selling and buying.
See where this guy is.
At his Mossene, Wisconsin farm, Butch Wiggy checks on his ginseng crop, which lays under a broad canopy of black mesh and wooden trellises. He carefully pries out a root with a spade.
This is a pretty clean 3-year-old ginseng root. It's pretty white, and that's a good thing.
Wiggy says 20 years ago, a Wisconsin ginseng farmer could make up to $80 a pound. But today, with Chinese and Canadian-grown ginseng glutting the market, the average payout is $22. But there is some good news. Wiggy says Chinese officials recently contacted the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin regarding a customer complaint filed with the trade office in Shanghai, challenging the validity of some supposedly Wisconsin-grown ginseng.
This was an image of our seal. It was being pirated. That little snowball has picked up in size and is now getting attention in Beijing.
Wiggy says tighter policing of the market could mean better fortunes for Wisconsin's 300 ginseng growers. But things are still a far cry from 20 years ago, when the state had 1,600 growers, raking in nearly $125 million annually. In Mossene, Wisconsin, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Viglund. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
It's kind of like the Atkins diet.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.